So we're going to be starting something a little bit different in the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be a preparation to consecrate ourselves to Mary. So after this week, there's going to be a couple of weeks of vacation for Holy Week. As next Friday, it's actually Good Friday, and then after that we celebrate Easter, and then we have what's called Easter Week, which culminates in Mercy Sunday. Beautiful time. And then shortly after that, we enter into the month of May, and May is the month of Mary. So no better time than to consecrate yourself to Mary than the month of May, which is the month of Mary. So there's a bit of a reading. We're going to be doing this class, and then we're going to have some time to fill in some of the blanks. And it's going to be basically designed on how we can learn how to meditate, how to learn the art of mental prayer, getting to know Mary better and better. And it's this: the shortest, easiest, most efficacious pathway to Jesus is through Mary. So she's, so to speak, the shortcut. We want to get to Christ. So if we really give ourselves to Mary, then she'll bring us to Christ, and Christ will bring us to God the Father. Other religions, especially the Protestants, don't really believe in, they don't believe in Marian devotion. The Protestants believe that Mary is the Mother of God. They can't deny that because that's very biblical. But they do not place an importance in having cultivating Marian devotion, whereas we see it as something essential. And given that the priests here were oblates of the Virgin Mary, that's our charism in trying to instill in our people, starting with children and teenagers, great knowledge and love for the Blessed Mother. So that being the case, we're going to be hand out the sheets, and we're going to start to work for the first class on Marian consecration. Later on after the break, we're going to be giving you some short meditations to work on a daily basis. But today's just an introduction on really what Marian consecration consists of. So you can pass them out now, Belinda. A little bit of theology. We've got a good group here this afternoon. Our relationship to God, theologians call it the relationship of latria. You know what that means, latria? Latria means we adore God. So we only adore God. Then with respect to the saints, it's called latria. Latria means veneration to the saints. But related to Mary, it's called hyperdulia. Hyperdulia means the highest veneration we give to Mary. So we don't adore Mary, but we give Mary the highest veneration. Okay, so that being the case, let's start. Are you short a pencil? What? Oh, next, okay. I don't know if you like art, but I kind of like that image. See, they're doing some mountain climbing, which is hard work. And they're climbing up the top of the mountain by means of a rosary. I kind of like that. So we want to arrive at the top of the mountain, which is heaven, and that's through Mary. Mary can help us to get to heaven. Okay. Highway to holiness, happiness, and to heaven. Shortcuts are very useful if we want to arrive quicker at our destination. If you're going around in circles, then you'll never arrive home. In the spiritual life, the saints have mentioned a shortcut to holiness. Happiness in heaven. A sincere, honest, pure, dynamic love and devotion to Mary, who is the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, and our loving Mother. So instead of starting and stopping in our spiritual life, running in circles, or being like a dog running after his tail, we should choose knowing and loving Mary, and she'll bring us to Jesus. Mary brings us to Jesus. Some people, often those we call Protestants, protest that if we draw close to Mary, talk to her in prayer, spend time with her, have paintings or statues of her, then our relationship to Jesus will suffer and be less. Eventually you're going to hear that when you go to high school. You're going to be meeting some Protestants and say, you know, you guys are practicing idolatry. But that's wrong. The gospel teaches us this. The first public miracle that Jesus carried out was in Cana at a wedding feast. They ran out of wine at the wedding banquet. As this was embarrassing for the wedding couple, a lady intervened and told Jesus that there was no more wine. Then Mary said these very powerful words, "Do whatever he tells you." Those are the last words we have Mary in the Bible. Great advice. Right? Best advice. Do whatever he tells you. Last time Mary speaks in the Bible. And Jesus did his first public miracle by turning water into wine and the best quality of wine. Therefore, Mary did not turn the attention to herself, but rather, she turned the attention to Jesus. This you can read in the second chapter of the Gospel of St. John. In her canticle of praise, Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." It's called Mary's Magnificat. Mary and children, as well as teens. Mary has a special love for children. Jesus was once her little child. Mary appeared to little children in Fatima, little shepherd children. Their names were Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia. They were specially loved children. Also in Lourdes, France, Our Lady appeared to a little girl 18 times. And her name was Saint Bernadette Soubirou. Mary loves you very much, and she wants you to get to know and love Jesus more and more each day. However, love wants to be loved. Our Lady wants you to get to know her and to love her more and more each day. This is one of the primary purposes of our program, to get to know and love and to trust our Heavenly Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Silence, reflection, and prayer with Mary. We can never really love a person if we do not get to know that person. Therefore, every day for these coming days, we must make the decision to spend some time in silence, thinking seriously, and talking to Mary, who will always lead us to Jesus. This special time with Jesus and Mary will prove to be some of the most precious moments in your life. Indeed, they can transform or change your life. Call to joy. A wonderful fruit that you experience in your soul is that of joy. Many young people mistake pleasure for joy. You can actually buy pleasure. You buy a hot dog, not today though, right? This is Friday. Or ice cream. Or you can buy a pizza. Some people even mistakenly take drugs or drink too much and find pleasure in this. True joy can only come from our contact with Jesus and Mary, God, the angels, and the saints. Five of the mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary are actually titled the Joyful Mysteries. By spending time along with Jesus and Mary, you will start to experience this fruit of joy in your hearts that perhaps you have never experienced before. St. Paul reminds us, rejoice in the Lord, I say it again, rejoice in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. The Blessed Mother wants to give you an overflowing joy, a joy that you will want to share with others. You will not want to keep it to yourself. Quickness to heaven. If we can get to know Mary, love Mary, live in the presence of Mary, talk often to Mary, try to imitate the sublime virtues of Mary, pray the Hail Mary often and with great love and devotion, then most assuredly we are on the highway to heaven. The purpose of our life on earth is very clear, to get to heaven. Mary is a bridge to get to heaven. Mary is an easy ladder to climb to make it to heaven. For this reason, it is so important for us to give yourselves to Jesus through the intercession of Mary, who is the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, and our loving Mother. The first great lovers of Mary. First and greatest lovers of Mary were her husband, the great Saint Joseph, the greatest of all the saints in the church and in heaven, and even more important, Jesus. He was the one that really loved Mary most. Therefore, let us follow the example of both Saint Joseph and Jesus and love Mary and give ourselves to her loving care and embrace. About 800 years ago, there was a teenage boy, who lived in Germany, and he had a pretty serious problem that his parents sent him to school, but he didn't like going to school. One of the reasons why is he couldn't seem to learn. So one day, he was climbing up this ladder, and he was trying to play hooky. He was running away from school. So, at the top of the ladder, he ran into the Blessed Mother. And she said, where are you going? And he says, I'm getting out of here. I can't stand this school stuff. She said, why? Well, I can't seem to learn. And she stopped and looked at him and said, well, do you want to learn? And he said, of course I want to learn, but I can't seem to learn. So she said, well, why didn't you ask me to help you out? He said, can I? Of course, that's why I'm here. So he turned to her and said, well, help me to learn. He returned to school and he became the best student in school. And at the end of his school, he could have done a lot of things. Came from a very noble family in Germany. And he decided that he was going to follow a man who started a new religious order. The name of that man was Domingo Guzman. I mean, today we call him Saint Dominic, who founded the Order of Preachers. So he entered into study, and he was a brilliant student. Basically, he got straight A's in everything, in biology, in philosophy, in chemistry, in geography, in biblical studies, in theological studies. You mentioned everything. It was like a walking encyclopedia with this photographic memory. So what happened was, he was ordained a priest, and he started to teach. And he taught everything. And whatever he taught perfectly. One day, in his class, there was somewhat of a plump, a little bit overweight, huge student. And they were making fun of him. And they actually, they called him kind of an insulting name. They called the boy a dumb ox. It's kind of an insult, isn't it? A dumb ox. And the professor said, "You call him a dumb ox, his bellows will be heard throughout the whole world." So what happened was, the great story, no? Is that that student, Aidan?
Was St. Thomas
Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas. And do you know who the teacher was?
St. Alfred. St. Alfred the Great.
Okay, so that man became St. Alfred the Great. Beautiful story. So I told you that story because he was your age, and he just struggling a lot. He couldn't seem to understand. And he asked the Blessed Mother, and the Blessed Mother helped him to become the greatest teacher in the world. And then he was number two, because Thomas Aquinas went even beyond him. Now both of them are doctors of the church. Great story, isn't it? So I think we all have our struggles. That's why when I see that, when I wrote Mary's the ladder to heaven, he was running up that ladder to run away, and he ran into Mary, and Mary gave him the grace to be a brilliant student. Not only that, but a great saint. Do you know that there were about seven or eight great saints that lived at that same time? Can you mention them? Who lived at the same time was Francis of Assisi. Do you know that? And St. Anthony of Padua. And another Franciscan, St. Bonaventure, lived at the same time. And also St. Raymond of Penafort, went on to preach until he was 100 years old. He was a Dominican. This was in the 13th century, in the 1200s. And so Dominic went on to form the Order of Preachers, dedicated to preaching the rosary and making Mary known and loved. So that's the story of one saint who was basically transformed through the prayers of the Blessed Mother. And so if she could do that to him, she can help us out too. Right? So let's move on to our worksheet. So you have a picture of the Holy Family. St. Joseph the carpenter, Jesus is a little child. Mary is there. Jesus has a lamb. Do you think that the lamb that Jesus has in his arm is symbolic of what we're going to be celebrating next week? John, what do you think? What do you think? How would you interpret it?
The lamb that takes away the sins of the world.
Right. Jesus is going to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Because in the Old Testament, they'd actually kill lambs, right? And then they'd take the blood. They'd actually spray the people with the blood with Moses. And that was a symbolic interpretation of purification of sin. But Jesus became the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When did he shed his blood? On next Friday, right? Good Friday. We celebrate the day in which Christ suffered and died for us. Okay, let's move on. Now we will proceed to enter into this wonderful journey of preparation for our consecration to Jesus through Mary. We will ask Our Lady to pray for us and to pray with us that this might be the best journey and preparation in our lives leading up to our total consecration to Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Prayer period. Steps and how to meditate. As in anything that you want to become perfect at, sports, writing, music, you've got to work at it. Right? Soccer, you've got to work at it. Singing, you have to work at it. Writing, you have to work at it. So any talent or gift that you have, if you want to be good at it, you've got to work at it. So if we want to learn how to pray, then we've got to work at it. It doesn't just come like this. We have to kind of work at growing in our prayer life. And that's one of the points of this class today. So you want to grow in your spiritual life, you have to work on growing in your prayer life. The athletes say, no pain, no gain, right? No pain, no gain. No? That means, you know, any of you played any sports, some of you play soccer, some of you play a little bit of baseball, it takes a lot of effort. I remember when I was about your age, I think maybe a year older, I ran cross country. I remember the first time I practiced, I got up the following day, I could barely get out of bed. I was so sore. Ah! I remember the first time I ran 5 miles. I never ran 5 miles. I had rigor mortis, so I was about to die. And after a week, yeah, piece of cake, I can run 5 miles. Yeah, in the practice, ran 10 miles. So. And didn't win any Olympic medals, but already formed a habit of running the race. No? Or if you ever lift weights, first time, you know, you're doing those, the military breaths, oh boy, it hurts. And maybe doing rowing, maybe doing the curls, no? First, man, your muscles are sore, but then after you start to build muscle, it becomes almost second nature. So these are spiritual exercises. Maybe we're spiritually flabby, gordito, huh? When we try to spiritually flabby, and I got to spiritually, yeah, we got to do those spirit, right, Marta? Spiritual exercises. Yeah? The prayer period you do every day in the very heart of the preparation for your consecration of Jesus through Mary. The more generous, hardworking, and faithful that you are to your daily prayer period, and more graces and blessings you'll receive from your consecration. Following our helps to pray well. Before we go into this, I'm going to give you the analogy that Teresa of Avila gives. I think all of you have had a friend. We had friends. One of the key elements of a friend is you got to spend some time with your friend. If you don't spend any time with your friend, that friendship is going to go down the drain, right? So you have to spend some time. Good friends want to spend time together. They want to share. They want to talk, enjoy each other's presence. Otherwise, the friendship deteriorates and the friend that you once had is no longer your friend. So Jesus is our best friend. And Mary's our best friend, though they're our two best friends. You gotta spend time with them. You gotta spend time with them. They're our best friends. Got that? Okay. When should we pray? I'm gonna suggest something. You're gonna probably be groaning, but I'll have to tell it to you. Pray early in the morning. You know what? I started off my day today with a pretty good day, praying about 3 hours starting off the day. I like it when I'm able to give a good block of time. So I spent about an hour and 15 minutes in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Then I came to the church. I prayed the liturgy of the hours. And then I said the Mass. And after the Mass, I prayed the Rosary. After the Rosary, I prayed the Chaplet, Divine Mercy. So I started praying about 5:40. And I finished by about 9:30. So it was a good start. I'm not saying that you have to pray 4 hours. Or whatever. You probably get a spiritual heart attack, okay? Spiritual heart attack. We have to call the 911, the ambulance, huh? I think all of you could spend half an hour in prayer. I think you can. You're probably not doing it now. Maybe that sounds like a long time. A half hour in prayer? Wow. I can't do that. You can be on your phone for half an hour, right? You may be watching TV for half an hour, maybe even more, huh? See, we all have time, and we expand our time in different ways. Think about something that really captivates you. You're really captivated by something. Well, you're captivated by watching that or doing that for an hour and 2 hours. Isn't God even more important than these other activities? These are human activities. Okay, they probably have some relative value, but they can't be compared to your relationship with God. Now, I'm going to say this one line is somewhat sad, but I think it's true. It's this. God is never too busy for us, but we're sometimes too busy for God. Isn't that sad, huh? God is never too busy for us. Whenever you want to talk to God, He's ready to listen to you, and Mary too. But we've got our agenda, we've got our important activities, and we can sometimes put God off, put Him off to a secondary place. But how humble God is, He's never too busy for us. Whenever you want to talk to Him, He's ready to listen to you. What do you think about that? It's cool, isn't it? A little bit sad that we kind of put God off to the side and kind of put Him in kind of like a secondary place. We want to change that. So we should pray early in the morning. In the example of Jesus, the gospel says he got up way before dawn to pray. Got up way before dawn to pray. What time would that be? Way before dawn. I'd say even earlier. Dawn is probably getting close to 5 o'clock. I'd say even like 3:30. And then he was absorbed in prayer. Not to say you have to get up at 3:30, okay? That might be too early. Maybe get up 25 minutes earlier than you usually get up and give that to God. You will notice if you ever do this, if you get up a little bit earlier, you're going to say, oh, I'm going to be more tired during the course of the day. But what's going to happen, if you give that time to God, God's going to give you even more energy and strength. I've noticed in my life. Because our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, right? Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's the one that gives us energy and strength. He gives us the wings to fly, huh? Yeah. Okay, number two, where should we pray? So we're going to respond to the when, the where, the how, and the what. Okay? Do studies of literature. Respond to those questions, huh? Where should we pray? Where you can be alone. Alone and silent. Because if you're someone and there's a lot of noise, you can't pray. You have to have silence. Long, silent, and uninterrupted. Uninterrupted. Forget that. Prayer was a conversation with God. You ever happen that you're engaged in a really interesting conversation and someone comes in and interrupts you? Ever happen? How do you feel? Kind of frustrated, right? I mean, it's happened. It's happened to all of us. A really good conversation, this person busts in, and then when the person finally leaves, you forgot what you're talking about, no? You're kind of on a roll, no? Well, you know, it happens in our lives, but that's why if you're trying to talk to God and you get these interruptions, then it's going to be difficult to enter into profound conversation with God. So you want to give yourself time and goodwill without being interrupted. Okay, before write the Blessed Sacrament. Before the Blessed Sacrament. You got that? Blessed Sacrament? Now you might not be able to do it, but who knows if you had a vacation. Is spring vacation, is that after Easter? No? No vacation this year? No good. No vacation? Good sign. Idleness is the workshop of the devil, so keep working hard, huh? Okay, so how much time do you pray? Well, okay, 30 minutes a day. Give yourself a half an hour. No groanings and moanings, huh? No stammers or stuttering. Let's just give the Lord a good block of time. No groanings or moanings or stammering or stuttering. We want to give the Lord a good block of time. Huh? What physical things can be of help, of great help? The first I put is a crucifix. We want to have a nice crucifix. Which is an image of Jesus' love for us. Another image would be that of divine mercy. Here we have an image of divine mercy. Have that in your room. And then, an image of Mary. Our Lady, I put Our Lady of Guadalupe. Any of you have an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe in your house? I'm sure you do, right? Can't imagine, you know, going into a Mexican household where you don't have Our Lady of Guadalupe, that's unthinkable, right? A nice big image of Our Lady of Guadalupe greeting you when you come in. It's great, no? And the bigger the better, no? Not just one at the door. You know, every room should have Our Lady of Guadalupe. You know, there's a lot of images of Mary. When I was your age, I lived in New York and New Jersey. I mean, I never met a Mexican there. It's just, so for me it was Our Lady of Grace, Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Lourdes. I think I'd never seen Our Lady of Guadalupe. Not really, I love Our Lady of Guadalupe. Very symbolic, very beautiful. And if it weren't for Our Lady of Guadalupe, you Mexican kids, you wouldn't be Catholics. So we're Our Lady appearing to Juan Diego in 1531. Did you know that in 30 years there were 8 million conversions? Did you know that? It's the biggest mass conversion in the history of the world. 30 years, 8 million conversions. That's huge. So we want to thank Our Lady Guadalupe for the fact that we're Catholic because of her appearance at Juan Diego. Okay, so Our Lady Guadalupe, and also put a candle. Okay, candle. In other words, create a holy space. Create a holy space. And what happens if your conscience is disturbed? And you should do a good examination of conscience. Say a good act of contrition. say a good act of contrition and go to confession as soon as possible. It is good to go to confession I say every 2 weeks. You probably don't do that, but maybe aim at that. At least every month. At least every month. But every 2 weeks. Okay, let's starting off your prayer period, your daily meditation. These are some steps. So in 2 weeks, we're going to be giving you the biblical passage and the commentary. So we're going to be giving you some material. So you're going to have that. But these are ways in which you can already dispose yourself even before you jump into the text. So place myself, number one, place myself in the presence of God. Place myself in the presence of God. In the presence of God. Imagine Jesus is looking at me with great love. Imagine Jesus is looking at me with great love. The starting point in prayer. Praise yourself in the presence of God. Jesus is looking at you with great love. You have those images. It makes you think about Jesus and Mary and St. Joseph, that they really care for us. Then you pray. Okay, you pray. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Now, St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says this: we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. Romans chapter 8. We don't know how to pray. Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. So it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us how to pray. Pray the Holy Spirit to teach me how to pray, and then Mary, place Mary, pray for me and with me. Number three. The two texts to read in our program are going to be the Bible and the points of meditation. The Bible and the points of meditation. You're filling your mind with holy ideas, filling that mind with the truth, with the Word of God and the commentary in the Word of God. Okay, the method of prayer, 3 points. You're going to be using your memory and your intellect. And finally, your will. Your memory, your intellect, and your will. What do these three things mean? So memory means call to mind the Bible verse you read. How about the intellect? Understanding means what is happening in the Bible verse. What is happening in the Bible verse? And also number 6, what is God saying to me? Through the Bible, God is speaking to you. Where Samuel, speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. And then with your will or heart, this is the very essence of prayer, your heart, you're opening your heart, and you're connecting with God. It means, what am I experiencing in my heart? What am I experiencing in my heart during prayer? What am I experiencing in my heart during prayer? And finally, colloquy. Colloquy means a conversation between friends. Conversation between friends. So spend 15, 20 minutes talking with your friend, you should be able to talk to Jesus and Mary. They're your best friends, right? That's foto il amigo che nunca falla, a friend that will never fail us. Okay, triple colloquy. So you go out to a restaurant and you're there with, there are four of you. So you talk with one friend, then you talk to the second friend, then you talk to the third friend. You talk to three of them at the same time. You can do that, right? Talk with one and another, and then talk with three of them at the same time, and maybe talk with two of them. Let's call it a dialogue, okay? Not a monologue, but a dialogue. Monologue means you're speaking to yourself. Dialogue means you're speaking to someone else. There's an interchange of ideas. A lively dialogue, a lively conversation. So the triple colloquy conversation with, could be with the, with Mary. Mary, then with Jesus. Then you speak with God the Father. So Mary, talk to Mary. Say Hail Mary then. Talk to Jesus, he's your best friend, and talk to God the Father. You're getting them all involved. You're really developing really a rich prayer life by doing this. Then revision. Revision means you go back and see it again. Revision, to see again, means to write down. Write down what you experienced in prayer. Any of you know what a journal is or a diary is? You remember that word? What's that? Perfect. Yeah. Your personal thoughts. But this would be like a prayer journal. Okay. How was your relationship with God? You spend that half hour. What did God really say to you? How did God speak to you? You saw Jesus in the stable of Bethlehem in the arms of Mary, and Saint Joseph was there. Well, it really touched your heart to see, you know, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph born in a cave. How humble. And I tend to be attached to so many things. I'm attached to so many, they didn't have anything. Jesus is the Son of God. He said, well, I'm going to try to be detached from clothes and certain things. I'm going to live a more simple life. Good inspiration. You know, allow your possessions to possess you. You've got to be more free. Don't be a slave of things. That could be an inspiration you have, and that moves you to move away from your own slaveries, your own disordered attachments. That'd be a good prayer period. God is challenging you to change. Challenging you to change. Okay. So ideas that can be written in the revision would be, I felt loved by God. Ever since I was 8 years old, I always heard the fact that God loved me, but it was just a head experience. But in that prayer, I went from my head to my heart. I really believe that God really loves me in the depths of my heart. And it changes my life. I know that God really loves me. We know that He loves me. I'm living with security and peace and strength. The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I shall want. And finally, sorrow for my sins. We all make mistakes. Only God is perfect. And a desire to know. Desire to know and to love Jesus and Mary more. In other words, write whatever you experience in prayer. What do you think, Belinda? Good program? Yeah. So, we're going to say our consecration to Mary and pray that we're really believe in Mary's love for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Prayer of consecration to Mary. Mary, my Queen and my Mother, give myself entirely to you. Show my devotion to you. Consecrate to you this day. My eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good mothers, I am your own. Keep me, guard me as your property and possession. One more minute is, so there's going to be a two-week break, right? This Sunday is Palm Sunday. Then you have what's called the Easter Triduum. Okay? Easter Triduum would be Holy Thursday. We have a beautiful Mass at night with the washing of the feet. Then next Friday is Good Friday, in which we call to mind the suffering of Jesus on the cross. Then Saturday, the whole Saturday, there's no Mass. But that night, we celebrate the most beautiful Mass in the year. It's called the Easter Vigil Mass. So I invite you to ask your parents to bring you to all these celebrations, because this is the most important week in the whole year for us. So take advantage of it. Okay? God bless you, and I'll see you in a couple weeks. Okay?